get his stuff together. He'll be up here just shortly. But yes, the battlefield of the mind, that is where Satan loves to come in and cause a lot of doubt and fears and things. So tonight's lesson is going to be more about how to overcome the enemy and his thoughts, right? Amen.
Whew. Teach all nations, come to church with me. All Nations Revival, Sunday, 10:05, 11 a.m., free international meal following service, Monday through Wednesday, 10:06 to 10:08, 7 p.m., guest speaker, Reverend Joseph Owens, Apostolic Lighthouse. Shoo! How did you tell him what happened? Yeah, I got my iPad and I got my Bible and I got this pack of papers and I got this box of tracts and I'm walking out to the van and then my wife says, you got to get the stuff out of the back seat. There's stuff from the store in the back seat. So I set the box on top of the van. Move the stuff so Janie can sit, put all that away. Put my stuff in the car, get in. All right, let's go. We drove off, and that box was on top of the van. Of course, you got to open it, right, and look at it when you get it. So I opened the plastic package, and so there's two packs. And one is closed. It's safe. The other one was partially open. I took a few out, and I had them at home. And then a little ways past before you get to my house, they were on the side of the road and down the highway. So I quick, and it was raining out. I would say a few of them got wet, but not too many. Most of them are good. So praise the Lord. I rescued most of them. Amen. Get yours today. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yep, that's fine. The battlefield of the mind, they use, brother, this whole session, this whole lesson, you can go ahead and be seated. Tonight is just a teaching session. Again, I'd like to remind you where this comes from. At Bible World Church, where Brother Cunningham is pastor, and I was a part of that church for 15 years in Chesapeake, Virginia. I do enjoy going back there from time to time, maybe once or twice a year, I hope, every once in a while. But when the last time I was back there, which was in February of this year, they were teaching on what they do and how they retain, quote-unquote, their guests. And a big part of their retention effort is getting people to get involved in church. Amen. They have, of course, things for young people, things for Sunday school kids, things for groups of all different kinds. But one of the things that really stuck out in my mind was they taught a special lesson on backsliders. And that lesson on backsliders, just, I couldn't get it out of my mind. Just about every week, we have Sister Brown that says, pray for the backsliders in our Monday night prayer meeting. Week after week after week after week after week, month after month. And we need to be expecting backsliders to come to our church. Amen. Amen. It needs to be an expectation, if you will. So if you're expecting backsliders to come, well, then you should prepare for restoring. Someone say restoring. Restoring people. So this whole session, every lesson in this series is written with the mindset of helping people live for God. Many times people who have backslidden had a offense, perhaps in the church, perhaps somewhere else in their life, or perhaps some thing happened, a divorce or an injury or, some loss, or who knows what it might be. Maybe a moral failure or something happened, but the person was in church and then they left church. Well, how can that person come back to church and feel like they belong? Amen. Like this is where they're supposed to be. Amen. So this whole series of lessons, I've taught one, Fred taught one, Caitlin taught one, Jeanette taught one, and there's more to come. But each one of these is based on helping people to live for God. Amen. Not just leave the world and come to Jesus, but the things that we need to do, Sister Greeley taught on choices, last week. Well, our choices are real important. Today's lesson is the battlefield of the mind. Our thinking is critical. If we have carnal thinking, it's really, really hard to come back and live for God. Amen. So, what I thought to do today is something somewhat different than my normal preaching or teaching. Normally, I would take the notes and reformat them to my own, and I'd do it from my iPad, and I would just kind of one way speak the subject. But what I'd like to do today is I want to go almost verbatim from the material in your hand, making just small little comments here and there. And if you have a related comment to that particular portion of this lesson, here I'm at risk now, raise your hand, and if you can say it in a minute or less, don't go on and on with a great big long story. Don't take 20 minutes of my 40 minutes. But if you can say what your comment is in about 1 minute or less, then raise your hand and give us a short little relative comment to that portion of the topic. Everybody got it? Amen. So I want this to be more like a classroom, like we were sitting in the stage office and it's a classroom and there's little back and forth comment. And we'll try, if we don't get through the whole thing, well, that's okay, we won't get through it. You've got it in your hand. But I'd like to do this with you tonight. You with me? All right, let's pray. Lord, I love you. I thank you. We ask in the name of Jesus that you would both anoint me, Lord, to say what you'd want me to say. Touch our minds, touch our hearts. Lord, help us, Lord, to be engaged here in this topic, Lord, as we look into the scriptures, as we consider these things related to the battlefield of the mind. Lord, I pray your will to be done within us and help us, Lord, even now we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Must be that running down the side of the highway, picking up them flyers. Praise the Lord. Battlefield of the mind. In this lesson, we're going to learn to do these things. Identify the distorted thinking of the enemy. Effectively confront destructive thought patterns. Find victory by transforming our mind or our thinking. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 from the Amplified version of Scripture. To keep Satan from getting the advantage over us, for we are not ignorant of his wiles and intentions. Amen. Life, I think every one of us, catches us off guard at times. You know, it just happens. Even the well-seasoned saint, the person who's been in church for a while, sometimes even a long time, even though you have repented, even though you have been baptized in Jesus' name, even though you are filled with the Holy Ghost, even if you're a faithful saint of God, life catches up to you. Stuff happens in life. Amen. If anything, or in fact, almost certainly, because you are a child of God, the enemy wants to attack you. Amen. The ultimate goal of an attack by the enemy is to destroy your faith and your relationship with God. That's the ultimate goal of the enemy. Take you down spiritually. The attack of the enemy, they are very real. The enemy is constantly looking for a way to cause you to fail God. A very real spiritual war is being waged right here in our own mind. Amen. The enemy will use every tool at his disposal to challenge your mind. Temptation is everywhere. It's at the checkout counter in the grocery store. It's on the billboards. It's on your cell phone. Discouragement can come from many different areas. Family, friends, work, home, life, family. Provocation. Lust. Test, trial, disillusion, anxiety, hate, pain, panic, and the list could go on and on and on. So many things are used by Satan to try to get you not to live for God. It's his goal to have you not to live for God. According to John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I tell you from personal knowledge in my own life, God's plan is for you to have an abundant life. Not just me, but you and every person that lives for God. It's God's plan for you to be blessed. I look at those that I know closely for many decades, family included. When you live for God, your life is sound. It has reason. It has purpose. There is real satisfaction in the things that why you're doing what you do. Amen. And on the other side, those that turned away from God, in my knowledge, in my family, those that are even loved ones in my own family, when they turn away from God, even though they've had the same experience as I, and just living in the same household, growing up with the same teaching in the same church, when they left and turned away from God, disaster and catastrophe and just turmoil and trouble and pain multiplied, confusion. The devil is a liar. The devil wants to tell you that, oh, it'll be okay if you don't go to church this time. Oh, it'll be okay if you just do a little bit of that. Oh, it'll, you know, the devil wants to lie to you about everything. Oh, you don't have to go to church every time. Yes, your presence does affect the body of Christ. But when you're outside of church, your missing church affects you greater than the rest of the body. If I'm hammering a nail in the wall and I missed a nail and I hit my finger, guess what? It's my finger that hurts the most, even though the rest of my body's affected. If you are hurt, if you hurt yourself by sin, it's you that hurts. It hurts the rest of the body. Yes, it's true. It affects all of us. God has given us power. I tell you this. God has given us power to live for Him. We really do have the power to win this spiritual battle. And it's a battle in our mind. We must, someone say must. We must fight this spiritual battle. We got to fight back. The goal we set for ourselves is straightforward. Never give in. Never give up. Live for God every day. Fight this battle in the name of Jesus. The battle that you're in right now. Don't fight it on your own. Fight it in the name of Jesus. And I'll tell you what. You have power to prevail in this spiritual battle. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. What did the Apostle Paul mean when he used the term strongholds? Phineas Jennings Drake, the author of the Drake Study Bible, in his notes, offers some clarity in the meaning of pulling down of strongholds. In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4, he writes, "Destruction of strongholds. We destroy reasoning of pagan philosophers and Jewish rabbis and their dogmas that nullify the Word of God and the facts of the gospel. These fortifications we pull down and demolish. We put to flight the demon powers and alien enemies raising the banner of the cross high on the field of battle. And I say spiritual battle. Amen. Praise the Lord. Strongholds are any area in your life where any area of our life in which we are held in bondage. Let me pause on that one. Because that's different for different folks, isn't it? Some people have problems with language, speech. Maybe you can't keep that mouth shut. Some people have thought problems. They can't keep that ungodly thought out of your mind. Perhaps it's on the outside, your appearance. You just can't get it right. Or you feel like you can't get it right. Maybe it's in our whatever. You use your imagination. But they're strongholds. The devil wants to use those strongholds to take you out of church. Don't let him do it. Don't let him lie to you. Any part of our lives under the control or influence of the devil. Man, that could encompass all kinds of things. Most often, the devil accomplishes his purpose by causing us to think wrong. What is wrong thinking? Among other things, it is thinking based on the lies you have been told by the enemy. I'll tell you what, we can believe the Word of God. As long as we are willing to believe Satan's lies, we will remain imprisoned in those strongholds. If you could keep believing those lies, oh, I can't live like them. Yes, you can. Oh, I can't do it that way. Yes, you can. Goes like wrong with choices. Yeah. Amen. You can do it. You can live for God. Yeah. Hey, I got one person with me. Praise the Lord. Woo. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can do it. Andrew Melville, a 16th century Scottish religious reformer, wrote this. Praise is the best auxiliary to prayer. He who most bears in mind what has been done for him by God will be most emboldened to ask for fresh gifts from above. If I could somehow convey we've all had a past that was in sin, right? BC, before Christ. We've all been caught up in the world, or most of us. There's a few that have lived for God from childhood to adulthood. Standing in the wrong place. I'll go back to my square. If I go out there, it does stuff. I'm going completely off my notes. You aren't going to find this in there. You know, we're going to have All Nations Sunday in just 2 Sundays away. I was raised in a Native American community, and I was the beating teacher in the school classroom. I was the exhibition dancer that would go to the fairgrounds and show people Native American dancing. My mom and my grandmom were the tribal leaders and elders in our community. My sister taught Native American language in the high school on the reservation. I tell you, my heritage is caught up in that. It is a part of who I am. It will never leave me. I will forever be who I am. But when I found Jesus Christ, when I really found who He was for myself, I knew that Jesus is the Great Spirit. You know, we had those meetings at Skamitzin. We had tent meetings, church services at the powwow for a number of years in a row. The first year we had that, there was a spiritual battle in my mind. The battle was, I was in the atmosphere that to me was totally consuming. The regalia, the music, the celebration, the dancing, the community, the events. It was what is familiar to me as a child. But I also was there because of my faith in Jesus Christ, trying to spread the message of who Jesus really is. It was a stronghold in my mind. We were having church that night, and just before church, you know, there's grand entry and all these people are going in there, and I walked into that arena, and there were some, I don't know, 10,000 people in that arena, and it was full of people taking part in that event. And I cannot tell you the emotions that rushed into my mind. I had to worship Jesus at that point. And when I was later on in the church service, and I was, of course, was leading that church service outside the arena in a tent on the periphery, I had to worship God in a new way. To worship God with all of my heart, with all of my soul, and with all of my mind, I had to give myself to praise. Amen. I tell you what, and that worked. There are so many times I worship not as a show, not as for somebody else, but as unto Jesus Christ, Him alone do I give glory to. No other person, no other thing, nothing else is worthy of praise except Jesus. I tell you what, it will work when you give God praise. Amen. It will overcome the strongest physical stronghold in your mind when you choose to praise the Lord. Amen. Praise. James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hearts, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. I just thought of something. It took a little while, but you know what came out of that event? Several years later, I got a son-in-law. My daughter and Darren started dating at that event. Praise the Lord. I tell you, you give it to Jesus and God will give you the increase. God will make everything in place. Praise the Lord. Amen. Verse number 7 tells us to resist the devil and he will flee from you. Verse 8 tells us how to resist the devil. King James Version. Draw nigh to God. And he will draw nigh to you. I'll tell you what, praise. If you haven't learned how to praise effectively for you, where that your praise lifts you up when you praise God, learn how to praise the Lord. You might have to get out of your comfort zone. You might have to do something more than what you've done before. Amen. But praise is important. This is the very reason we start Sunday services or start any service with praise and worship. We are deliberately drawing nigh unto God with our praise. It is not at all entertainment. It is praise. It is worship. It is adoration unto God. If that's not what you're doing up on here in this platform, then you should not go on the platform. It needs to be praise unto Jesus. It needs to be worship unto the Lord. At least 4 powerful changes take place when we engage in worship and praise. We draw closer to God. Our minds are focused on God. When we praise the Lord, we recognize His, Jesus's power. Amen. We focus on the good things that are taking place in our lives. You know, you might have had a bad day, but when you come to church, put aside the bad thing and praise the Lord anyhow. If you don't feel good, praise the Lord anyhow. If you came dragging in and felt like terrible, praise the Lord and you will feel better. Our praise is an outward proof that we believe God knows where we are and what we are going through. God understands where you're at. He knows where you are. It also means that we believe that God can and will help us. I believe God. Yes, my life has troubles. Yes, there's things that go wrong. Yeah, there's turmoil and confusion at times. But I still praise the Lord. I still trust God. Amen. Isaiah 61, verse number 3 from the King James Version. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. this is a really important piece of this lesson. If you want to get over strongholds in your life, learn to praise the Lord. Would you do that with me right now? Lord, I love you. I praise you. I worship you, Jesus. I worship you, my God. I praise you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Prayer is another weapon that we use to break through the battlefield of the mind. If you can beat the devil in the matter of regular, daily prayer, you can beat him anywhere. On the converse, reverse, on the other side of that coin, if he, the devil, if Satan can beat you there, he can probably beat you anywhere. Prayer is important. A consistent prayer life is a reflection of our relationship with God. It shows that you depend on Him. Taking our burdens and needs to God in prayer shows Him that we believe that that He both hears and answers our prayers. God does hear our prayers. And God does answer our prayers. Amen. A consistent prayer life reflects our walk with God. When we pray, we open the door for God's help. William Cowper was an English poet, and hymnotist, wrote hymns, who lived in the late 1700s. He wrote, "And Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees." I tell you, if you, the believer in Jesus Christ, will call upon His name, you have power over the enemy. Praise the Lord. We ask God to free our minds and give us victory over the enemy, over those strongholds in our life. It is through prayer that victory comes. James chapter 5, verses 15 and 16 records a powerful promise from the King James Version. "And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. God answers prayer. Amen. In fact, God is more eager to answer your prayer than many times we are willing to pray that prayer. Wow. We serve a great God. We serve a great God. We do have to pray. It's a part of fighting this spiritual battle. Pray sincerely. Pray focused prayers. Pray until we touch God. Pray until we feel the power of God. Pray until we have the assurance that God will take care of us. Love what Bishop T.F. Tooney often said about prayer. Don't expect a $1,000 answer to a 10-cent prayer. I'm trying to look at the expressions on people's faces when I say that. Are you praying a 10-cent prayer and looking for a $1,000 answer? Get serious about prayer. Pray. Seek His face. Find His will. Amen. Praise the Lord. The key to overcoming the onslaught of the enemy's attack in our mind, keep your mind on Jesus. We are so easily distracted. I put that box on top of the car and forgot all about it. Until I got to church and I couldn't find those flyers. What did I do with that? I put it on top of the van. I'm recounting in my mind. I remember moving those things. I remember doing that. I remember getting in. I remember cleaning Janie's spot. I don't remember putting them in the car. And the realization hit me. Those things are on the side of the highway somewhere. You get distracted. I got distracted by stuff. You probably will get distracted in life. Don't let life distract you to the point that you lose your focus on God. Amen. Okay. The devil is a liar. John chapter 8, verse 44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode in the truth, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. The same verse in the Amplified Version of the Bible says it this way. Same verse, John 8, verse 44, Amplified Version. You are of your father, the devil, and it is your will to practice the lusts and gratify the desires which are characteristic of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks of falsehood, he speaks with a what is natural to him. For he is a liar himself and the father of lies and of all that is false. This is pretty cool. Brother Cunningham wrote this. He says, I was baptized in water and filled with the Holy Ghost when I was just a boy. That's me. I have known and lived for God for over half a century. That's me. Over 50 years ago, I received the gift of the Holy Ghost. I was baptized in Jesus' name more than 50 years ago. And I have the very same testimony. I want to assure you of one thing I know about the devil. He is a liar. He lies so often that Jesus said the truth is not in him. It's easy to know when the devil is lying. If he's talking, he's lying. If it's against the Word of God, the devil's lying to you. If it's against Scripture, the devil is lying to you. Lying is Satan's most used tool against the child of God. The Bible reveals four truths about lies. No lie is of the truth. 1 John 2:21. God cannot lie. Titus 1, verse 2. Jesus said, Satan is the father of all lies. John 8:44. All liars will be punished in the lake of fire. Revelation 21:8. Sadly, even though Christians know that the devil is a liar, we still tend to listen, to be influenced, tempted by his evil words. Amen. Praise the Lord. The lies of the enemy sometimes seem like they come from nowhere. At the most unexpected times, they just pop into our mind for no apparent reason. When this happens, how does a child of God go about identifying these thoughts as the lies of Satan? Ask and answer yourself four questions that will help you find the truth. Ask these to yourself. Is the thought contrary to the Word of God? Is the thought immoral? Is the thought dishonest? Is the thought harmful to self or others? I tell you what, those things that I hear, that I see, that I witness, I can weigh it against the truth of the Word of God. And then I know if it's right. Amen. We know that the devil can put he can put something damaging or hurtful or critical into our mind. If we listen to and accept what we hear, the enemy rejoices. He is winning the battle for the mind at that point. Amen. Be careful what you see and hear and what you're involved in. Be careful of the conversations that go on around you. There's some that I want no part of. I hear a little bit of it, and I know enough. That's not what I want to be a part of. Count me out. Amen. And I can stand and rest assured that because of my commitment to God, God will see me through. Understand one sobering fact. If we listen long enough to the point we accept the deceptive information disseminated by the devil, we will find ourselves in a place where our very relationship with God is in jeopardy. And the result is almost always serious. Falling away from God is fatal. It will cost you your soul. Your life will cave in if you believe the lie of Satan. Amen. The danger of believing a lie. It is possible to believe a lie and be damned. It is. 2 Corinthians 2:11. At least Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Since we are not to be ignorant of his or Satan's devices, let's see if we can understand his plan of attack. His favorite weapon is to attack our mind with negative or wrong thoughts, his lies. Jesus told us that when we know the truth, that truth will set you free from Satan's strongholds. Amen. If you will know the word, amen, you'll recognize a lie. Amen. Here's the most important thing you will get from this lesson. We can and should refuse to listen to Satan's lies. Remember, he is a liar and the father of all lies. The truth is not in him. If he is talking to you, he is lying. The enemy has no conscience. He does not care about you. He will never feel badly for causing you to believe a lie. It matters not to him if you lose everything. He is not moved by the horrible circumstances his lies create in your life. I'll tell you what, Satan can wreck your marriage. He can wreck your relationships. He can wreck you on your job and in your flesh, in your body, in your mind. I'm telling you, Satan is willing to take everything from you. Satan doesn't mind seeing you tumbled and wrecked. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 and 5 from the Amplified Version of the Bible. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical, weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. Verse 5, insomuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Praise the Lord. We must understand these facts regarding the battle of our mind. We are not alone in our spiritual battle. Our mind is not the only one. Your mind is not the only one under attack. Think about this. Satan comes against every one of us. Member and minister, young and old, prayer warrior, worshiper, faithful supporter, everyone, Satan wants to attack you. We are not on our own in this spiritual battle. God is on our side. God is going to fight for us. Isaiah 59:19 promises from the King James Version, where the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Praise Jesus! I'll tell you what, living a godly lifestyle, living your life for the Lord, will preserve you from believing a lie. It'll save you from crashing to disaster. Exodus 14:14. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. I'm still learning how to do that. I'm still learning how to just, I don't have to fight this with my words. I could say so much and, you know, sometimes you feel like blasting them. But you don't have to. In fact, you are way better off to hold your peace and let God fight your battle. Amen. David said in Psalms 124, verses 2 and 3, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. I tell you what, the world would sweep you away if you don't trust in Jesus. If you're trying to fight this spiritual battle all on your own and on your own thinking and your own ways with your own strength, the world is going to sweep you away. You got to trust God. Amen. Praise the Lord. How am I going to end this thing? Let me jump down to page 54, the last half of that page. I'm going to skip about a page here. I'm going to skip reading about David. All sin forms three basic categories. From John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, King James Version. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Jesus was tempted in all three of these categories. When Satan said, command these stones to be made bread, he was appealing to the lust of the flesh. When Satan said, cast thyself down, he was appealing to the pride of life. When Satan said, all these will I give thee, he was appealing to the lust of the eyes. After Jesus resisted the devil using the word of God, the Bible says in Matthew 4:11, then the devil leaveth him. Behold, angels came and ministered unto him. I tell you, in every single spiritual fight you're going to experience, if you will serve the Lord, God will see you through. You can use the word. The devil left him, and we understand through this account that the story that there were two reasons the devil left Jesus alone. Number one, the word of God. It is written. Do you know that the Bible says how to be saved? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of... Do you know that? Yes! Oh, man, I got someone helping me preach. Woo! Yeah! We know the truth. And the truth will make you free. Amen. Praise the Lord. Know what the Word of God says. And then believe it. Believe it. And then the angels came and ministered unto him. Stand with me, would you? God will see you through. Amen. Let's pray right now that God would help us win the battlefield in the mind. Lord, I love you. I thank you. We ask in the name of Jesus, Lord, for your great will, for your purpose, God, to be accomplished. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done, for what you're doing. Lord, I pray your anointing, God, upon us in the name of Jesus. Lord, we are destined by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to win this spiritual war. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for your strength. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing. Lord, I pray your hand, God, to be with us, Lord, to win this fight. Lord, in the battlefield of the mind, Jesus, we give you all the praise, all the thanks, and all the glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming. You're dismissed.